Very good to see everybody here this evening. One announcement that I did not put into the bulletin, on a joyful note, we all know Zach Berkner. He worked with us this summer in the preacher training program. We also know the Vaughn family. They've worshiped with us for about 2 years. Well, Zach and Mary Catherine Vaughn were married yesterday, and so we rejoiced with them, and then we life together as husband and wife. My sermon this morning is dealing with the subject of overcoming discouragement. If you ever find yourself discouraged, well, you're in good company. If you ever read the Psalms, especially Psalm 69, you will see that David, who was a man after God's own heart, he found himself fighting discouragement, even depression at times. But Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was so distressed that his sweat became as great drops of blood. So if you find at times in your life that you're discouraged, that you're even distressed, you're in very good company. It's not sinful to be distressed. It's not even sinful to be discouraged. But you need to be careful about discouragement, because discouragement has the potential to affect your faith and your relationship with God. We're going to start the lesson this evening with a text you're familiar with over in Deuteronomy 1 and 21. In the context area, we're dealing with the time and the period when the children of Israel are being encouraged to go in and possess the land of Canaan. It says, look, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up and possess it. As the Lord God of your fathers has spoken to you, do not fear or be disturbed. And so here they come down finally to the promise, but they've been freed from captivity back in Egypt, passed through the Red Sea, gone to Mount Sinai, received the law of Moses at Mount Sinai, and have been receiving miraculous food, manna, daily from God. They're finally down to the promised land. They're told to go in and possess the promised land, not to be discouraged. But if you go further, the text says, our brethren have discouraged our hearts. Going back and reading from the outline, where can we go? Our brothers have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people are greater and taller than we. And about the cities are great and fortified up to heaven. And it says, moreover, we have seen the sons of Anak there. So here now, the 10 spies are coming back to 12 of them, but 10 of them are giving a bad report. And they're telling the children of Israel, the people there, they're great. They're taller than we are. They're cities. They're walled cities. How are we going to be able to get over those walls? And then there are the giants living in the land. We are like grasshoppers in their sight. And when they hear this, they get so discouraged, they lose heart. The text says here, Then I said to you, do not be terrified or afraid of them. But they were. They were so discouraged, they drew back in unbelief. And because of that, God would not allow this generation to enter into the promised land. Discouragement can be very dangerous in its effect upon your relationship with God. Continuing back to Hebrews now, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 3. Reading from the outline, it says, consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. But what he's talking about here is Jesus. Jesus endured hostility. If you are going to be a Christian, there are going to be times in your life when you're going to suffer for doing what's right. Because you have chosen to go the right way and do the right thing, you're going to suffer. When suffering comes in your life, you have to be careful that you do not become weary and discouraged in your soul. The idea of being weary and discouraged is because you are discouraged and weary, you quit your relationship with God. There again lies the danger. Because of what's going on wrong in your life, because of problems that you see ahead of you, you become so discouraged that you turn from God. Going back to Hebrews 12, he says in verses 5 and 6, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. You're going to find discouragement connected to trials that happen to us in life. Storms that we may be up in the middle of right now, or storms that we see coming. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, the reason he was so distressed was because he knew exactly what was coming. The reason David was so distressed in Psalm 69 was because of what he had been through, the losses he had experienced because of Saul chasing him and trying to kill him. And so sometimes it's because of where we are, other times it's because we see what's coming, and because it seems to be so big, we don't want to go through it. We don't want to face it. And we become discouraged, start thinking, it's more than I can deal with, it's more than I can handle. And as I said, the ultimate danger is that you become so discouraged and weary that it affects your relationship with God, and you start losing your faith and stop serving God. Going over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, it says, "Therefore do not lose heart, even though your outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." The outward man is perishing. Those of you that are younger right now, that really doesn't affect you too much. You're not really thinking about that. But there's going to come a time all of a sudden when you're going to realize you're really getting older. And your body is running down. And you're standing on the verge of looking at older age. And you realize what's coming is the outward man perishing. All of a sudden you realize, I'm going to have more health problems and more health problems, and eventually I'm going to die. Older age can be very difficult and very discouraging when the outward man starts perishing. Whenever you just start facing health problems one after another, they can beat you down emotionally to where you're discouraged. Continuing over the next text in Hebrews chapter 3, 13 through 15. He says, "But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today." And notice what he says in the close of this text. "So that none should be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." Here again in lies the danger and the problem of discouragement. And that is, you start turning to the world and turning to sin and giving up on your relationship with God. And the more you are in sin, the longer you're in it, the more hardened you become in it. Drawing back from God and turning to the world and turning to sin. He says in verse 14, "We have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end." Hold on to your confidence, hold on to your trust and your relationship with God firm all the way to the very end. Before we go any further, I have to thank you, Kevin. You did a great job in selecting the song. Just go back and read the words in the song that we sang this evening. Every single one of them fit perfectly with the sermon. Because the text here is talking about holding fast to your trust and your confidence. Because what happens when you get discouraged and when you find yourself struggling with sin and temptation, you let go of it. You let go of God and your relationship with God. Verse 15 says, "While it is still said today, if your heart hears his voice, do not harden your heart as when they provoked me." He's going back to when the children of Israel again drew back in unbelief because of their discouragement, because they were looking at what they were going to have to face. Okay, they're taller than us. Okay, their city's a wall. And they saw what was in front of them, and because it was so big, they became overwhelmed by it, discouraged by it, and from the discouragement came a weakness in their faith, and they drew back from God. And the same thing here in Hebrews. Over and over and over again in Hebrews, he warns about this drawing back from God in unbelief in the context of dealing with suffering. Suffering they were going through. And not allow the suffering that they were going to be experiencing to cause them to get so discouraged that they left God. And then finally, we'll close this part of the sermon with Galatians 6 and 9. "And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Losing heart is being discouraged. And so he tells you not to grow weary. The idea of being weary is, I don't want to do this anymore. I've been doing this, and like I've been living the Christian life, and what have I gotten for it? I've actually had people say that to me before. When they have had possible divorces in their life, and I had one man say to me, "Look, I was living the Christian life, I was faithful to my wife, and look what I got out of it." And his whole idea was, forget this. If this is what I get from being a Christian and serving God, and this is the suffering I'm going to go through in my life, then I don't have anything to do with it anymore. You're going to suffer. You're going to go through trials. The outward man is going to perish. You are going to have all kinds of problems you're going to face in your life, and you are going to feel discouraged. You're going to feel weary. You're going to be struggling without losing heart. Now then, that we've just acknowledged the reality of discouragement and where it comes from, the rest of the sermon is going to be dealing with how do you overcome it. Over the book of Isaiah, wonderful text here, Isaiah 35, he says, encourage the exhausted. Let's just stop right there. You're dealing with people here that are exhausted. The idea of being exhausted is, I can't go any further. Have any of you ever run a physical race to where you just can't go any further, and you're sitting there thinking, okay, I've had enough. I'm stopping running. That's the idea of exhaustion. You encourage those that are exhausted. The next phrase says, strengthen the feeble. Someone who's feeble is having a difficult time continuing going forward. Verse 4, say to those with anxious heart, take courage, fear not. Now there's the three groups that are listed here. The exhausted, the feeble, the anxious heart. Someone who's worried. Someone who's afraid, someone who's feeble, someone who's exhausted. What we're told to do to them is encourage them, strengthen them, and to give them courage to where they're not afraid. You find a similar thing over in 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Encourage the faint hearted. That sounds basically like Isaiah that we just read, doesn't it? Help the weak. There it is again. The weak being the feeble, the faint hearted. And then he says again in Isaiah 5:11. Encourage one another and build up one another just as you also are doing. I don't mind telling you, I believe the Old Testament background for this text is the text in Isaiah. Where you're dealing with people that are faint-hearted, people that are weak, people that are afraid and discouraged. And what we are told to do is to encourage them, to strengthen them. Now let's bring it home. We need to face the fact that there are members of the Lindell Church of Christ who are discouraged at times, who are facing very difficult times. It may be the loss of a loved one that they're trying to overcome. It may be health problems that are beating them down and beating them down and beating them down, and they find themselves discouraged because of the outward man perishing. And what they see coming is not getting better, but getting older and getting more sick. It may be that they're struggling with sin, and they become hardened in it. There are brethren in this congregation that don't come anymore. I mean, they just aren't coming, folks. We need to recognize that. And we need to realize they need encouragement. Something's happened. We don't know what's going on in their lives. But something's happening with them to where they have completely drawn and pulled, withdrawn and pulled back from God. They're not coming to worship services anymore. Something's wrong. Recognize this and go after them. Encourage them. Exhort them. Find out where they are. Find out what's wrong. But then there are those that are still coming, faithfully. But you know, it's got to be tough what they've been through. Be there for them. Weep with those that weep. Don't let someone go through discouraging times alone. When one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. That is the level of care the Lord is wanting us to get to. To where when we realize a brother or a sister is faint-hearted, they are feeble, they are discouraged, they are anxious, they are worried. What they need is us caring about them. You may not be able to fix it, and quite often you can't fix it. You can't bring back someone that's passed away. You can't have people always being healed. Because the outward man is perishing. We can't change that. The people in the land of Canaan were tall. Goliath was over 9 feet tall. Then cities were walled. That was the actual truth of the circumstances they were facing. People are facing real circumstances. They can be, in their view, sometimes almost insurmountable because they're so big. They shouldn't have to face it alone. That's what the Lord wants us to understand as a family of God. Because no member of the body of Christ should ever suffer alone. Encourage them. Go to them. Call them. Visit them. Sometimes it's just your presence. Just your being there. Just them knowing I'm not alone. Someone cares about where I am. How do you do this encouragement? Going over to 1 Corinthians 14:3. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. The prophet here is speaking to the Holy Spirit. But what he is speaking is the Word of God. And it is the Word of God spoken that gives exhortation. It is the Word of God being spoken that gives comfort. Paul, in writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. There are portions of the word of God, yes, that are being used to rebuke and reprove, but there are portions of the word of God that are specifically given to us to encourage and exhort one another. Going again over to Titus chapter 1 and verse 9. Here, speaking to the elders, he says, we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly and courage, excuse me, wrong verse. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. Here, dealing with an elder who has been taught the Word of God, knows the Scriptures, and is able with the Scriptures not only to convince those who are teaching false doctrine, but notice also encourage people with it. Just as the evangelist is to use the word to exhort, elders are to use the word they've been taught to encourage. Now, 1 Thessalonians 4:18, in the context here, it is dealing with the loss of a loved one. The loss of a loved one, folks, is going to hit you hard. You're going to be feeling discouragement like you've never felt before. This part of the Word of God is given specifically for those moments in our life. That is why every single funeral I have ever spoken at, and every single funeral I will ever speak at, I always go to this text, because it concludes by saying, therefore encourage one another with these words. The words here are dealing with the reality of the resurrection is coming. To exhort with the word, to encourage with the word, you have to know the word. One of the things I do as an evangelist, whenever I'm visiting people and listening to them, I try to understand as best I can where they are. And if they are discouraged, why are they discouraged? What is it that they're going through that is causing them to feel the way they're feeling? And once I understand where they are, it is my responsibility as an evangelist to put them in touch with the Scriptures that fit where they are. There are portions of the Word of God that are given specifically for the moments in our life when we are discouraged. When you are going and visiting those that are going through discouragement and facing it, share with them the Scriptures. Talk with them about the Word of God that fits where they are. That's why the evangelist and the elders are the ones that are talking here in the text about people using the Word of God. The evangelist and the elders should be the ones who really know the Word of God well. So I want to encourage you who aren't elders and evangelists, learn the Word of God to where you can use it to encourage the people that you are visiting. Not only that, going over to Luke 18, verse 1. Then he spoke a parable to them. The men always ought to pray and not lose heart. draw near to God, He'll draw near to you. What we're needing when we're going through suffering here in life, we need to get as close to God as we possibly can. And the way we draw near to God is by letting God speak to us through His Word, and then by us speaking to God in prayer. Over Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Be anxious for nothing. Let's stop right there. Remember the verse we read earlier back in Isaiah? Back here in Isaiah 35, he says here in the close in verse 4, but those who are anxious in heart, take courage. Fear not. Here you're dealing with someone who's anxious in heart. They're worried. They're looking at something and they're thinking, okay, how am I going to deal with this? How is my loved one? How are they going to deal with this? But something's happening enough to where they're anxious, they're afraid, they're worried. God says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Look at verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is one of my favorite verses, folks, that deals with how to overcome this anxiousness, this worrying, this fear. You take it to God in prayer. Realizing God is actually hearing your prayers. And God is responding to your prayers. You have taken what it is that you're anxious and worrying about to the one who can help you the most. And when you have a prayer of faith, listen to this now, a prayer of faith with nothing doubting, God does not like doubting. If you have a doubting mind when you are praying, you're not going to experience the peace of God. You have to pray with faith, realizing God does exist, He loves you, He's hearing your prayers, and He is responding to your prayers. It is this prayer of faith that will get you to the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, to where you can overcome the anxiousness and the worry and the fear. Psalm says, going back to Psalm 138 and in verse 3, in the day that I called, you answered me. You encouraged me with strength in my soul. Here the psalmist is talking again about how he went to God in prayer. And what God did pertaining to that prayer, He answered it. God answers our prayers. Let that sink in. The Creator of the universe listens to our prayers and answers them. And realizing He's answering my prayers, He's hearing my prayers, we can be encouraged and be strengthened in our soul and spirit, realizing the relationship we have with God. Psalms again in 27:14 says, wait on the Lord, be of good cheer, courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Here again it is dealing with courage, good courage, strength from the Lord. Take it to God in prayer. That is one of the main ways the Scriptures teach us to overcome worry and anxiousness and fear. And then finally, we'll close the sermon with this last point. Encouragement through faith in God's presence. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 31. In the close of Deuteronomy, it says in chapter 31, 6 through 7, be of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Here, Moses is trying to encourage the children of Israel. You're getting ready to go into the promised land. Don't blow it like you did before. Be of good courage. Don't be afraid. And the reason they don't need to be afraid is because God is with them. He will never leave them nor forsake them. And then he concludes here in verse 7, Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and be courage, for you must go up with this people to the land. And so now Joshua is about to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. When you go to the book of Joshua, chapter 1 and verse 9, notice what Joshua said to the people. Be strong and of good courage. Why? Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. When Moses said to Joshua and the children of Israel, now Joshua getting ready to lead the children of Israel into the promised land, says the exact same thing to him again. He tells them they need to be of good courage. They don't need to be afraid, and they don't need to be dismayed, because when you go back and study the first time they got down to the promised land, that's exactly what they did. They were discouraged, they were afraid, they were dismayed, and it caused them to draw back in unbelief. You don't want that to happen again. You learn from the first time, you don't want that to happen again. And at the very heart and the very core of this was their faith and their trusting that God was with them. And that being said, let's go over 1 Chronicles 28. Here you have David speaking to his son Solomon. David's about to die. Solomon's going to be taking over the kingdom. David said to his son Solomon, be strong and of good courage and do it. Notice the next phrase. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Does that sound familiar? For the Lord God, my God, will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Sounds kind of like what Moses said to Joshua. Sounds like what Joshua said to the children of Israel. Now David is saying the same thing to Solomon. Be of good courage. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Why? Because God is with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Now we've got to go to my favorite verse, and everybody knows where that is, in the Old Testament. Notice how it begins. Fear not. There's the Bible, isn't it? The children of Israel were afraid. They became discouraged. They became dismayed. They drew back in unbelief. God understands we're going to suffer in life. He even allows it. He even sometimes brings punishment. We are not to have the suffering and the trials and the storms of life to cause us to be dismayed, to cause us to be afraid, to cause us to be so discouraged that we turn from God. He says, fear not. Why? For I am with you. I need to ask all of us this question. Do you believe what that verse says? Or do you think you're alone? You see, it is when you think you are alone and you got to face the struggles and the trials and the problems you're about to go through all by yourself, and you got to handle it all by yourself, you got reason to be afraid. If the children of Israel were going to have to conquer the land of Canaan with their giants and the tall people and the walled cities without God being with them, they had reason to be discouraged. But with God being with them, all things are possible. Folks, the walls of Jericho did not fall down because there were great generals in Israel. The walls of Jericho came down because God tore them down. God still can tear down walls. God can still give us victories today. What the Lord wants from us is trust. No doubt. Trusting Him in our prayer, trusting Him in His promise that He will never leave us nor forsake us. He says in the rest part of the rest of this verse, do not be dismayed. And stop right there. That's discouragement. To be dismayed is discouraged. Why? For I am your God. He says, I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Do you understand why this is my favorite verse in the Old Testament? Everybody here, I guarantee you, at different times in your life, you feel dismayed. You feel discouraged. Go to this verse. Read it. And believe it. I've told y'all this story before. Years ago, I experienced something I had never experienced before. It was a panic attack. It came upon me at about 2 or 3 in the morning, and I wasn't going to wake my wife up. And so I laid over there, and I started quoting this verse. And I quoted it, and I quoted it for 15 minutes, and I was still snowballing in fear. And then after quoting it for 30 minutes straight, and the fear kept snowballing, I asked myself, what's wrong? Why am I still afraid? That was when I, in the wee hours of the night, had to ask myself the question I asked you earlier. Do I believe it? And therein lies the problem. It's not enough to be able to quote a verse. We must believe what it says. And when you believe it, you can go through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil, because the Lord your shepherd is with you. Because you know it and believe it with all of your heart, you are able to overcome the fear and overcome being dismayed and the discouragement. We'll close with Isaiah 26:3. If I were going to pick a verse that cross-references very well with the verse we read earlier from Philippians 4, talking about being anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And listen to this, the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Peace of God that passes all understanding. Isaiah speaks about that same peace, I believe, when he says, you will keep him in perfect peace. Perfect peace. It is the peace of God that passes all understanding. Perfect peace can be attained. How can it be attained? Whose mind is stayed on you. When we are going through the storms of life, when we're struggling with being dismayed and afraid and discouraged, set our eyes on the Lord and know that the Lord is with us. The last part of the verse said, because he trusts in you. Our trust in God, that he actually is with us, that he will strengthen us, that he will help us, that he will uphold us with his righteous right hand. He does hear our prayers. He will answer our prayers. It is from that relationship of trust with God that we are able to overcome discouragement. Whenever you come in contact with your brethren that are discouraged, find out why they are discouraged. Use the Word of God. Use prayer. And use even these scriptures to help them to overcome the discouragement they're fighting. I want to close with the last verse I quoted from earlier from 1 Corinthians 12. When one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. That is what God is warning us to get to as a congregation. When you realize a brother or a sister is discouraged, do the best you can to help them carry their burden, to comfort them, to weep with those that weep. No one should have to go through the storms of life alone, especially when you have spiritual family. There may be somebody here this evening, though, who is not a member of the body of Christ yet. If you have read the Gospels or heard it preached and you've come to believe that Jesus of Nazareth actually is the Christ, the Son of God, if you are willing to openly confess your faith and repent of your sin, we'll be glad to assist you and baptize you into the body of Christ for the remission of your sins. If you're a child of God already and you know that there's sin between yourself and your God that you have not dealt with, I would hope that you'd feel the godly sorrow enough to repent. Come back to the Father. We'll pray for you, we'll pray with you, and do the best we can and try to encourage you. Because sometimes you can be very discouraged when you're fighting sin. We'll try to be there for you, encourage you daily while it's called today. Not just at the front of the building after you come forward, but we'll try to be there for you every day that you need us to encourage you to be faithful. If you are subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know while we stand and sing the song.